Well, I'd call this meeting to order. My name is Gene Hernandez, one of your directors. Our chair, Sandy Stang, is having a little bit of problems logging in, but we hope to see her soon. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Helen Cameron, do you want to lead us in that?
Yes, thank you.
And can we get a flag put up somewhere? There we go.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Thank you, Helen. Okay, please be seated. And Desiree, give me my agenda back. Thank you. Okay, Linda Barcelona, would you do the roll call, please?
I sure will, Gene. Thank you. Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Thank you. I'm present. Denise Barnes. Denise hasn't got on yet. Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
Helen Cameron.
Present.
Amelia Castro. No. Jerry Chang.
Present.
Thank you. Gene Hernandez is
present.
Juno Kim.
Present.
Thank you. Carol Moore.
Present.
Thank you. Mary Perdue.
Present.
And Sandy Stang is trying to log on. Thank you. I'll leave those open in case they join us late.
And that gives us a quorum, Linda.
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, it should. Okay. Let's go to action item number, four. That's AB 361, review and make findings required by government code section 54953E3. The recommendation is continue virtual meetings due to proclaimed state of the emergency rising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. Okay, so with that,
I move the action.
Thank you, Carol. Do we have a second?
Okay, thanks.
Second.
Thank you, Helen. Moved in second. Okay, if we could get a roll call vote, please, Linda. Or no, Desiree, I am sorry.
No,
Desiree
does. No worries.
Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes? Elizabeth Busick? Elizabeth Busick?
Okay.
Helen Cameron?
Yes.
Amelia Castro?
Yes.
Jerry Chang?
Yes.
Gene Hernandez?
Yes.
Juno Kim?
Yes.
Carol Moore?
Aye.
Mary Perdue?
Aye.
Sandy Stang? And that is majority, Chair.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you, colleagues. Let's see, where are we at here now? We're at, and thank you, Helen. I know Helen has to leave shortly, but okay, senior non-emergency transportation update. Farrah Lawless, is she here? Are he here? Has anyone heard?
Farrah is actually, it looks like she's connecting now.
Okay.
I want to give her a second.
There she is.
Hi guys, sorry about that. I've been having some technical difficulties here with my Wi-Fi. I'm unable to secure a connection. Thank you for your patience. I'm just going to go ahead and read out our statistics for our SNEMT report. So for the month of August, our total trips provided for Area 1 were 2,959. For Area 2, we have 1,875. For Area 3, we have 4,859. And then the average cost per trip for Area 1 was $51.19, with an average trip length of 5.72 miles, and an average cost per mile of $8.96. And for area two, it was $46 for cost per trip. Average trip length was 8.27 miles, and average cost per mile was $5.52. For area three, we have an average cost per trip of $44, and $4.87, miles per for the trip length, and then average cost per mile was $8.97. And that concludes that SNEMT report. Thank you. And if you have any questions, I can take those now. Hello. I'm sorry. I don't think I can hear you guys.
Gene is muted. He's talking.
Oh,
okay. He's muted.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My bad. My bad.
No, you're okay.
I just want to make sure. Does anyone have any questions of Farah? And Farah, good job.
Thank you.
I can't see everyone unless I scroll down here, so I don't see any hands up. Okay, if not, then we'll move on to the presentation. Sandy hasn't joined us yet, correct?
But Helen Cameron's hand is up and she's muted.
Oh, Helen, go ahead. I'm sorry, I can't
see.
Yeah,
just a quick question for Farah. I know we see these reports every month. Are there any insights into what might be changing in the future need for these resources? Are we seeing any patterns that are different than we see every month? Because it would be helpful for us to really understand if there's anything that we need to address. The numbers are informative, of course, but maybe you could give us an insight into the overall impact of the program.
Good point.
Of course, Helen. That's definitely a very good question. So there has been a steady increase in the actual program implementation. So with the rising fuel costs and demand still increasing, we've had to go to the board, recently to get a increase in budget for the program, so that way our providers, both AgeWell and ABRAZAR, are able to better service our participants here in Orange County. We've also seen an increase in, and you probably see this from our monthly reports that are being reported out, the cost per mile has significantly increased, and we're currently operating under a temporary cost per mile increase for each of our service areas due to inflation costs and rising fuel costs. So that's in effect all the way up until December. So all the way up until the end of the year. And then we're going to reevaluate after we come to the end of the year, depending on what's happening with our current economy and inflation and fuel costs, we may choose to either exceed the temporary cost per mile increase or go back to our previous rates. But besides that, ridership is steady. It's been good ever since the pandemic. We had slowed down for a bit where riders were a little hesitant, but now we're kind of we're seeing people come right back to the program. Our customer satisfaction showed good responses. Over 98% of our participants are satisfied with the program. I think we're overall doing good. We also saw a recent expansion in the program, which you guys are all aware of, I'm sure, where we started to offer vaccination rides during the pandemic. So if older adults needed to make an appointment to go get a vaccine for COVID-19 or a booster, that is now also covered under the program. That's pretty much all I have with updates for the program.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And last month, I was impressed to hear that many people are probably using this resource for their access to mental health and other behavioral health programs. which is something I don't think we really understood before. We know we don't break it out in terms of what the appointment is for, but it's reassuring to hear that that's available.
Yes, definitely, Helen. Yes, we're definitely reaching out to that population. So pretty much anything that that could be a non-emergency appointment, a medical appointment, should be covered under the program. So I don't see our participants being denied for those type of appointments. Thank you for your question.
You know, fair on a side note, yes, sitting on the Orange County Transportation Authority, that's almost the exact same trend line we are seeing. It went real low in the COVID era the last couple of years, but now it's coming up steadily to the point where we're going to exceed what we had done in the past. So looks like all public transportation is bouncing back. So that's good news.
Oh, that's great to hear, Jane. I had the opportunity to sit in on that committee once, but I haven't been aware of any updates. So that's good to know. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, yes. In fact, we just got that the other day. Okay, presentations. I don't think Sandy's with us yet, unless I'm mistaken.
Jane, I'm introducing our speaker today.
You got it. Take it away, Linda.
Thank you. Okay, and I see Rosa is on our call already. Rosa Ayala has had an extensive year in an extensive career in senior living that spans more than 15 years. She has taken many roles within the senior living communities, gained experience with each position, and is now the executive director at Belmont Village in Mission Viejo. She grew up in Orange. She is a graduate of Cal State Fullerton with a bachelor's degree in biological science. On a personal note, you should know that I do work with Rosa at Belmont Village, and I've watched her work. She is a very busy lady, but always takes the time to sit and talk with a resident that is having an issue or is having a little problem, and just so kindly soothes them and calms them. I've always been impressed with how she treats our residents. And she's also a young mom, has two beautiful little girls at home. So she's a very busy lady. So I will pass the program over to Rosa. And if everybody can mute, just so we don't have background noise while she's speaking, that'd be great. Thank you, Rosa. Can we hear her?
Rosa, we're not hearing you. You're not muted, I know. So some type of connection problem, maybe. Can you hear us? Yeah, okay, you can hear us. Oh, wait, now connecting to audio. Here we go.
Yeah, it looks like it's trying to connect.
1 minute.
May I make a quick comment?
Go ahead, Carol.
You know, this field is such a growing field.
Oh, wait, hold on a minute, Carol. Yeah, Rose, I think we heard you. Was that you?
Yes, that was me.
Okay, perfect. Okay. All right, hold on to that thought, Carol. Rosa, take it away.
Good morning, everyone.
Linda, you're done introducing, right? Okay, Rosa, go ahead.
Thank you, Linda, for the introduction. Thank you for having me speak this morning. I'm honored to be speaking. I will share my screen so you can see this presentation I have.
Yeah, we got it. We can see it.
Is it nice and big for everyone?
Yes. No, it could be a little bit bigger on that neck. You got that next slide. If you can get that out of there, just focus on the main one here. There you go.
Is that better?
Yes, thank you.
So, like Linda said, I have been in senior living for over 15, probably closer to 20 years now. have had different roles in senior living, but most of all of it has been in assisted living communities, also known as residential care facilities. So today I will be talking about different living arrangements for our seniors. Most of it encompasses assisted living communities and residential care facilities, also known as Borden Cares and skilled nursing, what that encompasses and the pricing behind it, how to go about making the decisions, et cetera. So if you have any questions, you're welcome to stop me at any point. So just some statistics that you may or may not be aware of. We have over 681,997 older adults aged 60 years and older in Orange County, and it accounts for about 15.3% of our population. The California Department of Finance estimates that it will increase to 26.1% by the year 2060. And, you know, one of the biggest benefits of being in a congregate community, such as an assisted living community, is that our residents do get to interact and engage with one another. And that's often a benefit that is not, you know, quickly noted when upon entering a community. But a research from UCLA shows that lonely adults are 25% more likely to die prematurely from just, you know, being home and unengaged without anyone to interact with. Here are some interesting statistics about specific communities. So in Orange County, we have about 8,300 skilled nursing residents, 14,350 assisted living residents, and in a year, about 35,000 seniors enter and leave assisted living communities every year. So when a need for a community is identified, there are several questions that people should ask themselves, you know, on behalf of their loved ones or themselves. The first one is identifying the need. This is really important because there are such a varying types of services that are offered within our communities. You know, people need to decide, do we need a Borden Care? Do we need a skilled nursing? What is assisted living? So really understanding, you know, is there a medical need behind the decision, or is there a specialized care need such as dementia or hospice behind this decision, really can help determine where a residence can be placed. Also determining the size and the layout. Some residents do better in a smaller environment such as a Borden Care. Others do well in a community, and communities oftentimes can have hundreds of residents at a time. Also, location is really important. You know, do they want to be close to family, to longtime friends, physicians, or religious institutions? Then the next step would be determining budget and resources, and I will go into more detail about that later. I always recommend visiting the communities, doing some research, looking up a license status, and we can easily do that on the Department of Social Services website. And also in our areas, we have very, very skilled placement professionals that, you know, their job is solely to assist our residents in finding the appropriate home for themselves or loved ones at no cost to the client. They usually charge the communities that they're coming to. So that's good to know. So what are residential care facilities? They are often referred to as assisted living communities or Borden Care homes. They are housing arrangements for individuals who are 60 years of age and over. They provide 24-hour non-medical care and supervision. Usually three meals are made available daily. They provide assistance with what we call activities of daily living. These can be such as dressing, eating, bathing, medication management. There are also planned activity programs and recreational activities within the community. Some of the communities are suitable for residents who have cognitive impairment or dementias, and are often supported by outside services such as home health and hospice services. They are licensed by the Department of Social Services here in California. And in Orange County, we have over 250 licensed residential care facilities in our county. Then we have continuing care retirement communities that are very different. And the biggest difference is these are long-term contracts. Not only do they provide the housing aspect of your traditional assisted living, and the services that come with that, but they also provide nursing care. So skilled nursing care must have an additional license attached to it. So that is the benefit of living in a continuing care retirement community. I mean, it's all in one community setting. These communities are also licensed under the California Department of Social Services. In our county here in Orange, we have 12 licensed CCRCs, as we refer to them as. What is the cost? According to Genworth Financial, the national median cost of assisted living facilities in 2021 was $4,500 per month, or $54,000 annually. In California, the average cost for senior living is $5,250 per month, or $63,000 annually. Residential care facilities range in pricing. You know, it can range approximately between $5,000 and $16,000 a month. Part of the care provided in communities can be tax deductible. Most of it is not, but some of the medical care that is provided sometimes can be tax deductible. CCRCs have different financial contracts because they are what we call a buy-in community. So when you move into a community, there usually is an initial fee. In your standard assisted living communities or board and cares, it may be, you know, 1 month's rent. So almost like a deposit, it eventually is non-refundable. But in a CCRC, it's a one-time fee that can go up to $1 million, depending on the type of contract that you decide to use. There are four different kinds of contracts. Life care, depending on your initial fee, your monthly fee is guaranteed throughout your stay. A refundable fee basically means that you are promised part of that feedback if you stay more than 6 years in the community. Repayable means they pay back a portion or all of your entrance fee once that individual has moved out. And equity basically means that you own the property and it's passed on to your loved ones. So it's definitely more complicated than your standard assisted living community. Assisted living communities, for the most part, work on a month-to-month rental basis. So our residents move in, they pay an initial fee that's equal to their first month's rent, and then thereafterward, there's a monthly fee. The agreement can be terminated at any point by giving us a 30-day written notice, where as a CCRC, it's a little bit different because of that big initial fee that some individuals decide to pay. There are different ways to pay for retirement living. Most of our residents, and it is very common for our individuals to pay the cost of a community such as Belmont Village out of pocket. It's often also seen that residents downsize and sell their home and use those funds from the sale of their home to pay their, you know, the community that they're moving into. There are private health care insurances, but they do not cover assisted living. It never hurts to ask, but it is very rare. And in my time working in communities in California, I have not seen any private health insurance cover any portion of the community expenses. What I have seen often is long-term care insurance coverage. Long-term care insurance policies do cover the cost of assisted living communities. It depends on the type of policy, and there are specific requirements that must be met in order for the policy to be initiated. But it is a really good option for those that have long-term care insurance. I can tell you nowadays, the feedback that I get is the policies that are currently being offered to our seniors and individuals such as myself do not compare to the policies that were offered 50 years ago. Because there has been so much output of financial resources on the insurance end that they're having a hard time meeting that. So they no longer offer policies the way they used to in the past. Medicare does not cover room and board for assisted living communities, but they do cover skilled nursing. They do cover home health, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and hospice services. So at any point, if a resident of our community were to need home health, oftentimes home health is welcomed to our community and we work in conjunction, and that part is covered through Medicare. The same goes for physical therapy and occupational therapy and hospice services. If a resident has needs that cannot be met at our community, medical needs, then they go to skilled nursing, and usually that is covered through Medicare, depending on the diagnosis and the length of stay there, but that's often the case that it is covered through Medicare. Medicaid, in some cases, nursing services and personal care assistance is covered. However, states are not legally allowed to use Medicaid funds to cover room and board. So some states have alternate programs to help recipients pay for the costs, while others do not. And I'll go into more detail. The VA is a wonderful resource for our veterans. And there is, in some situations, veterans aid and attendance pensions can be a source for supporting and helping our veterans to pay for assisted living communities. And as I mentioned earlier, part of the care, you know, may be tax deductible. There is something called the assisted living waiver. It's not very common. You'd have to find a community and a county that has this waiver in place. And Orange County is covered under the waiver. But this is a program, a combined federal and state program, designed to help pay for medical care for public assistance recipients and other low-income persons. So there is a criteria to be met with this waiver, and specific communities are selected to participate in this waiver and are expected to have a percentage of their apartments in their community be part of this program. Usually there is a long wait list. There are only a few in Orange County that I'm aware of, but I worked with one provider in the past who had one community that had the waiver in place, and they were always full. But basically, you know, the portion of the rent that the residents were paying was a minimal portion compared to the regular residents, but they received the same services under this waiver. You would have to visit your local Medicaid office to determine which communities participate and are part of this program. Through my research, I also found the PACE program. And from what I gathered, it is a comprehensive medical and social service program that is provided to older adults that would otherwise reside in a nursing facility. A person must be 55 years of age and older and be eligible at a nursing home level. And what I gathered is there are different disciplines that work together to meet the needs of these individual seniors. And the seniors go to a program 3 times a week. And if they get to a point where they can no longer participate in the outpatient program, PACE will pay for the care and the supervision of the team to continue their coverage. Just to go into more detail about assisted living and a community such as Belmont Village, here at our community, we have a variety of apartment types, studios, one-bedroom, two-bedroom, floor plans. Residents provide their own furniture. That is not always the case. Some communities have furnished apartments, especially in Bourne Cares. You do tend to see that. And some of the features that we have, because, you know, our cost is quite high, but it is very inclusive. So I will go into some of the details of our features. So our apartments have kitchenettes, have a sink, refrigerator, microwave. Every apartment has their own private bathroom with a shower, closet, and storage space. Heating, ventilation, air conditioning is all controlled by the residents individually. Basic cable is provided. 2 emergency call assistance switches are provided. We have a dining room we call Josephine's Kitchen, and we offer restaurant-style dining throughout the day. We have a concierge. They assist residents with any questions throughout the day, but also schedule transportation. We do have laundry facilities located on each floor. Laundry is included in the rent. We also have a Center for Life Enrichment Fitness Wellness Program. And we here at Belmont Village partner with Select Rehab. So we have in-house physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy that is available to our residents. We also have a screening room with, you know, for movie nights and private parties. We have a salon. We have outdoor amenities, a saltwater pool, Wi-Fi throughout the building. And our community, we offer assisted living, so assistance with any activity of daily living, circle of friends, and a secured memory care. Circle of Friends is very unique to Belmont Village. It is a first of its kind, and it is a comprehensive therapeutic program designed to support the needs and abilities of residents with mild cognitive impairment or early to moderate memory loss. Oftentimes, when residents try to move into a licensed community in California, if they have a diagnosis of dementia, even if it's an early diagnosis of dementia, communities are not equipped to support their needs, and therefore the residents are asked to move to a memory care setting. It is not always appropriate, depending on where the stage of the person is cognitively. So here at Belmont, and this is what we are really known for, Circle of Friends allows residents with early moderate memory loss and MCI to live within our assisted living and participate in the specialized program. If at any point there is a concern of safety, that's when we have a conversation with families. We often don't wait to that you know, until that happens, we have conversations beforehand with families about changes that we start to notice that indicate that there may be a problem ahead of us. We do provide 24-hour on-site nursing. So this allows us to support residents with injections. If we don't have a licensed nurse 24 hours a day, it is not allowed in California to provide such things. And we provide medication management and assistance with activities of daily living. The cost here at our community ranges from $6,050 to $16,000, depending on the type of care and the type of apartment that is needed. Any questions?
Well, thank you, Rosa. That was very thorough. Oh, I see we got Sandy back. Sandy, you want to take over?
Sure, that's great. Thank you very much, Rosa. Excellent presentation.
I have a quick question.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. So in the very beginning, the first slide, there was a statistic about the numbers that were leaving assisted living I don't know if it was monthly or annually. And I was just wondering if that's broken down into reasons why they leave.
I did not find anything broken down into reasons. I can tell you here at our community, and just in my general experience, most residents reach the point of end of life when they move from when they leave a community.
Okay.
It is very static at any stage. Once a resident moves into a community, an additional move is very traumatic. So we really try to make sure that the first move is the last move, really, because residents get used to the staff and the layout, and it becomes familiar. On average, I tell any new residents coming into our community that it will take them a month to month and a half before they feel acclimated to their surroundings. From time to time, we do see, I would say, 5%, at least here at Belmont, that leave due to financial reasons. I would say maybe 5 to 10% that move because they need a higher level of care, such as skilled nursing. Something we have identified here at our community is that not only do we have our MCI mild and moderate dementia, but we've really identified that we also have a very severe end-stage dementia that almost requires one-on-one attention and a lot of sensory engagement. So our community is currently working on a project to develop something for those residents who otherwise would not participate in a wonderful program that we have, because they are not physically able to do so.
Thank you for that information.
Other questions?
I have a quick one, Sandy. Rosa, this the cost, obviously, for what you're getting seems very good, but I assume that most insurances will cover this or no?
No.
Not insurance, not private insurance, not for an assisted living community. They will for, or skilled nursing is covered, but not a community. So most residents pay out of pocket. They sell their homes. They have long-term care insurance. They have VA benefits that help support the cost. But your normal, insurance would not cover the cost of a community living.
Okay, thank you, Rose. I appreciate that.
And Rose, I have a question. When you were talking about the cost, you said $6,000 to $16,000. Is that per person? So like if you have a couple in a unit, do they get a break or how does that work?
That's a wonderful question. So it is per person, but most communities have what we call a second occupant fee. So, for example, if the rent is $5,000 a month, the second occupant fee may be $1,200. So a couple together would only be paying $6,500.
Okay.
And we do see from time to time, not only couples, but siblings move into a community and share that cost.
Okay. And are there any extra costs for the, you talked about the food in the dining room. Is that all included?
It depends on the community. It's community specific.
Oh, okay.
Most board and cares, which are your small homes that house, you know, 6 to 10 residents, it's all inclusive. Communities such as Belmont Village, that part of it is inclusive, but the care part is separate.
Okay. Any other questions?
I don't have a question.
Okay.
I would like to make a comment.
Okay.
I find it, you really need to be pretty well-to-do. A good friend of mine sold her beautiful home for over $1 million in Mission Viejo and moved to one of these really, really nice, it's either Laguna Niguel or Aliso Viejo. You would know in the business. And so she doesn't have any kids or any family. So she just bought into this thing, and she's, when she dies, they keep the money. And she pays over $6,000 a month, and every year it goes up. I think, wow. I think it's rather, it's a good deal for these places to get people like my friend. If they just get the money, she paid them well over $500,000, maybe 3/4 of it, I'm not sure, to move in. But it is lovely. I mean, it's everything. The food's included. I mean everything. There's a swimming pool. There's the gym. There's the classes. I mean, everything you could ask for. But it looks to me like you better be financially very well off. So that's the.
Yeah, that is the case. And it sounds like she might have moved into a CCRC, the continuing care retirement communities, because they have that large buy-in one-time fee. And depending on the type of contract that you agree to, they will keep your money sometimes, other times not. Communities like Belmont, we're on a month-to-month basis. The initial fee can range between, you know, $6,000 and $12,000, depending on the type of apartment that you choose. And it does burn itself out after 3 months, so it's non-refundable at a given point. But yes, you know, I think one of the challenges that the county, not only the county, the state, but, you know, our nation is going to face is we are having more and more seniors reach the age of 60, yeah. 65, and that cannot afford a community such as Belmont or the place where your friend went. Mm-hmm. And there are wonderful programs in place, but I'm sure that there will be more to come because individuals, you know, are pretty much left to either live in a long-term skilled nursing facility sometimes, you know, small board and care homes that may not be meeting their needs, but financially they don't have another option. Even nowadays, staying with family is almost not attainable because the cost of a private caregiver, I find, you know, in trying to find caregivers for our residents from time to time. Last year, caregiver agencies were asking for $18 to $20 an hour. Now, they're asking for $30 an hour. And I had a resident who had COVID and needed assistance throughout that time, one-on-one assistance, and the agency charged $60 an hour.
$60?
So, you know, I think they're definitely, we offer wonderful services and it serves our residents. And that's really wonderful and fulfilling. But there is also a need for individuals that cannot meet these financial requirements.
So Rosa, what was what you said, CCRC, what does that stand for?
It stands for Continuing Care Retirement Communities. And the difference between a CCRC and an assisted living community or facility is that a CCRC has a skilled nursing component to it, whereas a community such as Belmont does not. And so then if a resident got to a point of needing a feeding tube or 24-hour nursing care, beyond just your standard medication injections, you know, if they required someone to drain their tubes, then a skilled nursing would be most appropriate for that individual.
So in the CCRC, do they always have a buy-in?
They do.
Okay.
They do, but there's one in the area, the Covington, they have a traditional assisted, independent living, assisted living, and they have a skilled nursing component to it. So some of the residents pay the buy-in, and others just do a traditional month-to-month contract. So I guess they do not. It depends on the CCRC community.
Oh, okay. I could never quite figure that out, and I didn't know that term, CCRC. That makes sense. So
Carol's been... has had her hand up for quite some time.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Carol.
Thank you. I think it. I agree with everything that Elizabeth commented on. I see that the number of care units growing tremendously and consolidating in our community. I was really surprised when I noticed that it was a consolidation. And someone said it was management. No, it wasn't, because they changed the names and I looked at them. I think the best thing we can do, and we need these, I'm not criticizing these groups because they are needed. The best thing we can do, though, to me is prevention, and that is to encourage people to take care of themselves, to exercise, to do as much as themselves. I and Elizabeth, we're seniors ourselves, but it's imperative that we get people, because we're living longer. You see that, Rose, and I really appreciate your program and so forth is enlightening. But I think our goal has to be to encourage people to take good care of themselves and the kinds of things that we can find out. What's surprising me, and some of it may be related to staying in with COVID. That was not a good thing. And what we're finding are people with dementia. And I think we need more studies and more programs to help prevent it, so that people can take care of themselves. And because this is so costly, but this started, Elizabeth told the story, and I remember a friend of my mother's, I grew up in Huntington Beach, they sold their property, they were farmers, they sold their property thinking they had this huge sum of money. Every dime was spent on taking care of them to the end of life, and they left nothing. I saw that early, and that was in the 50s, maybe late 50s, early 60s. Thank you.
You know, circle of friends, and we get most of the individuals coming to Belmont Village here in Aliso come looking for circle of friends, because it is, you know, the purpose of it is to support the cognitive level of our residents. And it's actually backed by a couple universities. And we do studies where we test the cognitive abilities of our residents who are in this program versus residents who are not. And you can see the change in the decline. It's definitely much steeper with residents who are not stimulated and part of the program. So keeping active and keeping engaged and having the proper level of engagement is key to maintaining your cognitive health.
For some reason I can't see any hands. Any other hands?
Elizabeth has her hand up.
My hand's up. Okay. I was up in Sacramento. And I visited a friend and stayed at a friend in Sacramento were out, and she has dementia real big. Oh my God. But she absolutely, she couldn't even change the channel or turn off the channel or turn off the TV. I said, Kathy, don't, it's okay. You have dementia. I do not have dementia. My God. It was incredible. Well, she has dementia big time, and her husband has dementia somewhat. So they have private care 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week and need it. This is costing a fortune. Okay. Then this other friend that I visited, she doesn't exercise. She doesn't do anything. She depends on her daughter and son-in-law. And to me, if you don't get out there and walk and you don't take exercise classes, you're asking for it. So Minna, she can't read any longer. So she sits and watches the television and sleeps. But Kathy, she did everything. And still she has dementia big time. So to me, you can do all the studies in the world, but if you don't take the initiative yourself and do the exercises and walk, and not at a slow pace, at a fast pace, you're asking for big trouble down the road. I really saw it. It just opened my eyes like, God almighty. So just adding that.
And, you know, any of you are welcomed at any time to come take a tour of our community and look at our Circle of Friends program, look at our memory care. We actually have 2 memory care parts of our community because the need is so high. When I came here a year and a half ago, now we only had 1 memory care. Now we have 2, and we are currently in the process of creating or piloting the sensory program that would be for those individuals. So we will end up with 3 different facilities within our community that offer memory care because the need is increasing.
Anyone else have any other questions?
Yeah, Jean has his hand up.
Oh, yep. I'm sorry, Jean.
Thank you. Good presentation, great questions, good dialogue. And I think you're spot on, Elizabeth. Physically take care of yourself before we get to the point where we can, but also financially. Everybody's shocked at the cost of this.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure why people think that they're going to live better off in their senior years than they lived all their life. If you think you're going to have a better lifestyle than you lived with all your life, that ain't going to happen. So those that can afford this, they already probably had a nice living to begin with. So I'm not sure. Well, I know what the answer is. The answer is you got to ramp up your qualifications, your job skills, and get a higher paying job if you want to afford something like this. The only other approach would be that we work from a political point and see if we can't get some type of, you know, insurance or something that can cover these kinds of things and work through that venue. But don't assume that you're going to live better in your senior life than you did in your whole rest of your life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I do encourage anyone to look into long-term care insurances. They are costly month to month, but they do help quite a bit when it comes to living in a community setting like ours.
They're very costly, the long-term care, and they go up every year. Just yesterday, the new guy who got hired, he came to my house and talked, and he told me that my long-term care, once it happens, is only good for 3 years. After that, you're totally on your own. I wasn't aware it was only good for 3 years.
I never heard that either, Elizabeth.
I think that's your policy, Elizabeth, because I have long-term and that's not the case. However, you're spot on with that it goes up every year. It's extremely expensive.
Very expensive, yeah.
And I mean, it's going up more and more each year. So. Right.
And the other thing that
I was never told it was only good for 3 years prior. I thought it was good, until you croaked.
I never heard that one.
It depends on the policy. Some policies, and there are only a few left that offer a lifetime, but some do have a time limit. So it really depends on the provider and the specific type of policy that you have.
And also some of those companies have gone out of business. So you could be paying on something and then all of a sudden they're gone.
It's gone. So right.
My personal opinion is I don't think they're of value, especially if you're going to live a long time.
Yeah.
Well, if I could say something, yeah, it just depends on when you bought your policy, because I got some advice from a financial advisor. I bought mine before I turned 50. So mine does go lifetime. It's not enough to pay for something like Belmont now. I keep teasing them that they need to save a little apartment for me later on. But it just depends on when you bought it and what the value is, you're ready for it.
Like
and mine does not go up every year. It's a flat fee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I bought it a long time ago.
Me too.
Bought it before I was a senior.
Same here. And then yesterday I was told it's only good for 3 years once you buy. I thought that
once you activate it.
I was told back when I bought it, just before I turned 50. It's like, what?
I would say in our community, we have about 20% of residents who have long-term care. And some of the policies cover the whole cost of their living arrangement here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I would have bought more when I did buy mine, but it's only about $1,200 a year.
Wow, that's very cheap. I bought mine a long time ago too, when it was much more inexpensive, but like everything else, the costs go up and my policies go up, but I don't have that 3-year limitation. I don't know where that's coming from, Elizabeth. Well, that's got to be your policy.
I would have said the same thing, Jean, until that guy came yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought, no, my long-term goes till I croak.
You know, you just hit on something that's important, Elizabeth. All of us, you should always have a periodic checkup on the insurance policies you have and what you think you have or don't have. There are folks out there that'll do that. They'll go over everything you've got, and I'm sure they'll do it for seniors. So you're not caught like you were, Elizabeth, that, wow, I didn't know that. Just kind of tweak it every other year or every year. You can do that. That's something we all should be doing.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Jean. If anybody has any more questions for Rosa, any other questions for Rosa, we should let her get back to the business of running the community. It's anybody?
Very interesting program.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Rosa. I appreciate it very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rosa.
If you need or have any additional questions, Linda has my information and I'm welcome to help in any way I can.
Thank you so much, Rosa.
Thank you. Very good. Okay, so now we go to chair items, so new business. So on the presentation schedule, I had down streetcar update, but I haven't been able to contact them. And I think it's partially due to all the issues going on with with the community, because so many people have lost so much business with the streetcar. So when we do the roundtable, I'm going to ask everybody for ideas and suggestions for a speaker, or would you rather have a working meeting? And then if we have a working meeting, what do we want to talk about? And
I would like to suggest
that we
get planned for next year, not to wait till January to start planning the presentations. I think we should start planning so that next month we can say, oh, I've got a program for March. I've got one for February.
Good idea, Elizabeth. So you think we should, at the November meeting, go round table and have everybody take a month and then search a speaker for us?
I'd like to see let's focus on some programs that help prevent people from the things that strengthen, what kind of programs are out there. The best and those groups, I think if you focus on prevention, you get a lot further. And maybe we have to start earlier, but I'd like to see more of that rather than taking care of people. Those things, we should support those, obviously, but we've got to keep people out of these programs and keep them healthy. Thank you.
Maybe Carol, next month, and you could, you and all of us, but you could bring us some ideas on prevention. I think that's,
I don't know who's working on this. I wonder if we should contact AgeWell and some of those. They're doing some great things, I think, in keeping people. Go ahead.
Would you like? I was going to say the prevention of health and fitness and diet and exercise and all of that stuff, that's not really under the preview of our committee. That's the other committee, the other subcommittee. That those kind of programs might be good for our general SCAP meeting, but we're supposed to be focused on housing and transportation. And there is a PhD.
Isn't housing, keeping people in their own house, isn't that housing?
Well, yeah, true.
Well, if you can keep people, I get your point, but I think if you're the more we can keep people in their housing. And, you know, like the program we had where they had the, they brought in a student. Remember that program? I thought that was good. Programs that keep people in your house, to me, are far more productive than trying to, anyway, just something to think on. I get your point. I get your point.
Yeah.
Okay. A good idea, Elizabeth. And yeah, I think we're scrambling too much at the last minute. It's so hard for everybody to think, though, like when you're in January, who's going to speak in October or November? But good idea.
Well, and it's really hard to book a speaker that far out, too, because things come up and positions change. And yeah, it's hard to book somebody that far out. 2 months is probably about the appropriate time, I think.
How about if we looked at everybody volunteering to take a month? And then that way we have a commitment that you'll find a speaker and then we'll work that way. Would everybody be in agreement to that? Do the whole year.
Yeah, right now, I'll take November.
Okay. Elizabeth wants November.
Only because it's the last month. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're dark in December, so it'd be January.
So November next year?
November. Okay, I'll take December.
You're talking November of next year.
You're talking next, we're talking next year, right? 2023. Mm-hmm. All right. Who wants January for next month? Next year, I mean, not next month.
If you want somebody to talk about nutrition and health and fitness, I can think of the PhD from our community. She's actually located down in San Diego, so doing Zoom would work for her. She does a great online program that I saw before I ever worked for this company on nutrition and health and fitness and health.
But that's
overall brain health.
That's not our thing. That's the other.
I know, but that's what Carol said she wanted to see.
I like the idea, but we'd have to figure out a way to, as Elizabeth pointed out, to make it a part of housing and transportation. And I'm trying to think of how we could do that.
And maybe that's an appropriate presentation for the whole SCAC community.
Probably.
Instead of a subcommittee.
Mm-hmm. Sandy, I'll take March. So Mary Perdue will take March.
Great.
I'll take April.
Who said April?
Charlene.
Okay. Mary said March.
Yes.
What do you want, Jean? Which month do you want?
Well, I was just going to say, if you want to do the streetcar, I can set that up. We just had a presentation, OCTA, on that, and kind of give you two things. One, the issues and struggles we went through with that Santa Ana project, and then what's the trend? Because that was just the first phase. They're looking, or we're talking about, and still in discussion phases, of going to other outreaching areas. So that can be handled fairly simple. I can do next month, well, let me rephrase that. I won't be here next month, but I can set it up if someone can just be the contact. I'll be the contact person to get the person if they just have someone on our group that can kind of introduce them and walk them through what they need to do.
Why don't you try to do that for November and then give me the information and then I'll make sure that they get on.
I can absolutely do that. And it will be done. So just if you want that for November, that'll happen.
Yeah, that would be good, Jean. Thank you. because I was having trouble getting through. Okay, so we have...
That's November 10th, right?
Yes, November 10th. Okay. Next year, then, I'll try to take February. Okay, and we'll go over this again then next month, to your point, Elizabeth, and I agree with you. Too much scrambling, but, you know, like Linda and I both said, it's really hard to get somebody booked out that far. I don't know how they do it on the other committees. So
it's nice to have your whole schedule all set up.
Oh, it is. And
it would be nice.
in a perfect world, I totally agree with you, but... When I talk to people and I let them pick months, that's what I kind of do when I first start. It's always interesting to see what they pick, and then you have to keep going back and forth to see if they're still with you and they can do it. Let's see.
So we haven't heard from Amina and Juno and Jerry.
Right.
Maybe we consider the second part of next year. So,
okay, you want May, you and
June? Yeah, and Juno maybe consider like a July or August, the second July part.
Let's see, we're dark in which one? June.
Maybe, yeah, I mean a July or August.
July. All right, I'll put you two down for July.
Okay.
This is Amelia. You can put me down for any month. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
How about January?
Amelia, I marked you present. I saw that you popped on.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Okay, you're Amelia, welcome. I'm going to put you down for January. I have February. Mary has March. Charlene has April. What do you want, Jean?
Oh, he and Juno.
No, I'll take anything. It doesn't matter. If you have a problem someplace, just let me know, and I'll
put you down.
I'm doing November. I got the call into the guy now.
Right, for this year, and then I'll put you down for May next year, if that's okay.
May of next year. Okay, that's fine. Let me look real quick.
We'll change it. And I'll put Juno and
Jerry usually go together.
In July. So we have August, September, October, and November of next year. We have Denise, and she's not here, right? So I'll talk to Denise and see what she can come
and
up.
Helen.
Now and Helen, yes.
And Denise and Helen always come up with good people.
They do. All right.
Well, so most of us come up with excellent.
Everyone does an excellent job, really. Well, I don't think we've ever had a speaker I said, ooh, I didn't care for that. They're always good. And now there's always something to learn and there's always something different. I think they've all been very good. Okay. And then just a reminder what our goals are, housing for all ages and stages and affording aging. And then we'll go to announcements, roundtable discussion for all members. And if you want to talk about what's going on with senior housing and transportation in your community, or if you have some announcements. And let's start with Linda, how about you? You're muted, Linda.
I know, I muted myself. I don't have any announcements. I don't have anything.
Okay. And how about Elizabeth?
No.
Okay. And how about Jean?
Well, just a heads up. I'm sure you've already all been reading that it looks like OCTA negotiations with our mechanics has come to an impasse, and they're talking about striking.
Right.
And we're not sure at this point yet if the drivers then will then in show of support also strike, which then puts the burden on our seniors who are using the buses to go here and there. So we'll be working on some type of alternative plan, but I would start giving people a heads up, be aware that this is coming, and we're going to work on some type of alternates so we can take care of those seniors, like our access and whatnot, and maybe expand that. Just a heads up, you might want to let your folks know.
I saw that on the news, Jean. Did they say when this might happen?
Monday.
Yeah, Monday. You're correct. Monday. That's right. But keep in mind, we are still talking to them. We're still in negotiations. So even though they're on strike or go on strike Monday, we'll still be talking. So.
Okay. Good reminder. Jerry?
He left.
He left. Okay. Amelia? You're muted. Is she still?
No, here? I don't have anything.
Okay. Carol?
Carol left.
Oh, Carol left. Okay. Mary? Did she leave? Well, they're all leaving. Okay. And Denise told me she had another meeting, so she wouldn't be able to. She thought she might be here for a few minutes, but she said it didn't look so good. Okay. I'm trying to think if I have anything.
You haven't called on Juno.
Oh, Juno, sorry.
Yeah. I have nothing but except saying that I had really bad shoulder pains. I have to admit, it was a very long meeting today. It was a very bad pain.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
The next time. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the announcement I would have is Lake Forest Senior Center, called the Clubhouse, on Monday from, I think it's 10 to 2, they're having a health fair with all kinds of activities and things. Oh, and there Charlene has her hand up too. Charlene, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just two things. Speaking of Senior Center, earlier this month, the Costa Mesa Senior Center had their return of the health fair, and we had over 300 people in attendance. So it was really exciting, and it was good to walk over and introduce myself to those who were at the County of Aging table, and they were all very excited, enthusiastic, and well prepared to answer questions. And speaking of transportation, we were able at the Senior Center to begin to launch our new electric shuttle. We filled the bus with our first trip for our seniors to Angel Stadium for a background tour. So things are really moving and getting excited at our senior centers. Thank you.
When you say electric shuttle, what are you talking about, electric cars?
You know, they have the solar panels and the
really
charging station. Yes.
And where are they going to use these? I mean, Hoffman?
Well, first of all, it's for community. They're starting it with community trips. And so perhaps the Transportation and Housing Committee would be interested in hearing about how that operates and how they're doing.
Yeah, I would. Okay. That would be a good talk. Put that whenever you do yours. Do you want to do that?
I will. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And Linda has her hand up.
I did. I forgot something I wanted to tell you about. I participated in the Walk to End Alzheimer's, and it was around one of my centers at the Irvine Senior Center, the bigger one that is in the park off of, I forget what street, Barranca and... Anyway, the bigger of the Irvine senior centers, and it was super well attended, huge event, a couple thousand people walking and carrying the flowers of different colors, indicating who they were walking for, whether it was somebody they lost or somebody experiencing, or if they were a caregiver. It was a very fun event. I haven't heard yet how much they raised for research into Alzheimer's, but it was a really fun event and was right here in Irvine with our senior center participating. So I did want to let you know that.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Anyone else that I missed?
The Irvine got a Global Village, festival. I don't know anybody attended. They have a lot of people, be in the Irvine Global Village Festival.
When did they have that?
That's last Saturday, I think.
Oh, I went a couple years ago. It was very good.
Yeah, every year they have this program. A lot of people and a lot of, you know, you can go over there at the Great Park.
I didn't see the advertising on it this
year. They have advertising on the website and the register, you know, all the medium. So a lot of people going there every year, October this year is October 8th, last Saturday. But every year on October, like the first week of October, so a lot of participants at the Great Park, almost, I think, 30,000 people, at least 30,000 people there.
Yeah, I went a couple of years. It was very good.
Yeah.
Huge. I couldn't believe how many.
Very huge. Yeah. And a lot of fun, you know, a lot of food. They have a lot of food, different kind of food. Yeah, they have food truck.
Yeah.
All kind of food truck, so you can get a lot of stuff and a lot of culture, different culture. You know a lot of things over there.
There was a lot of dancing and
dancing. You know the program, a lot of program. So,
yeah, very good.
So you can check in like a register. I think they have a median they showed on there. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey Sandy, real quick, I forgot to mention. Also, we had a health fair too Saturday. I'm sorry. My mute? No, there we go. And it wasn't, I don't think it was well advertised, but it should have been. But one of the issues that came up, and I don't know if you have experiencing that with your health fairs, every year a lot of our folks come to get their flu shots.
Yes.
Well, the flu shots were not available. We couldn't get them anywhere. And I checked with our staff, and they checked everywhere. They just flat weren't available. And people really wanted to come and get a flu shot. So I don't know if you guys are experiencing that or not, but we certainly did.
I don't think we're going to have flu shots at ours on Monday either because it wasn't on the list. And it used to be always on one of the top things on the list.
So exactly. That's probably why they don't have access to it.
I think you're right. That's too bad. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Public comment. Do we have any public?
We did not receive any requests in advance. There is one member of the public present. If you would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. And seeing no hands, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So if there's not any other comments or any other concerns, we'll go ahead and adjourn. Any other comments or anything? Okay, so we'll adjourn a meeting. Thank you very much. Sorry, I was having all these computer problems. And we'll see you again next month.